The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
His awesome power was tested as he went along his way. When all at once a parade of sodomites he saw, so he sent a hurricane to punish them one and all. He's an all-consuming fire, and his presence I can feel. Don't want to grieve him, because this ghost is for real. He shot out bolts of lightning as he thundered through the sky. Then he saw his people praying, and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-i-oh, yippee-i-oh. And eyes full of tears, their clothes all soaked with sweat, he'll remove all their fears. They'll be with him forever in that city on high, white horses snorting fire as they ride across the sky. As he rode on by them, he heard them call his name. They must be born again. Salvation's not a game. So sinner, change your ways today, or hellfire you'll abide. The power of the Holy Ghost can never be denied. Yippee-i-oh, yippee-i-oh.
Oh. Oh, that was our very own Pastor Ernie, the man in white with Holy Ghost Riders. And Pastor is on his way back from the Concert for Life, I believe he was at. So he is running late. So in the meantime, Kenny here playing you some tunes, playing you some music while we await Pastor's arrival. We just heard his rendition of Holy Ghost Riders doing his Johnny Cash impression. How about we go with the man in black, Johnny Cash? Here's When the Man Comes Around.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns when the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him.
Mm-hmm. Sin is a burning thing. It has a deadly sting. Pleasure is a burning desire, but it will take you to the lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher, and you'll burn, burn, burn in that lake of fire. That lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire. That lake of fire. Christ is a saving king. He'll keep you from that sting. Sin is a burning desire. Fall into that burning lake of fire. You go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire. That lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire. That lake of fire.
Took for granted. We ask you to leave, and now look at the mess we're in. So God, I invite you back to bless America again. You know, God's Word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if his people, which are called by his name, shall humble ourselves and pray, and seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear us, forgive our sin, and heal our land. So let that be our prayer, so God can bless America again.
Certain about this faith of mine, I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine, I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners, hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners, I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday, heaven's my way, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again, gonna be with long lost. Don't know when, I'm blessed by you. Gaining treasure, preaching sinners, hell's for losers, heaven's for winners.
Therefore I am never alone. I've been washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and his blood redeem me. Now I am one of his own. No, Father, I'm your child. So take me by, he has given his life for me. Because of sin, he had to die, and his obedience to the Father has given me Jesus.
Jesus Christ the Lord. I believe He is the living Son of God. I know He's real 'cause I can feel Him in my heart. My DNA was made by G-O-D. I won't let them make a monkey out of me. I'm not a Harry and I never was much good at climbing trees. My DNA was made by G-O-D. Big Bang and everything fell into place. We were more than lucky if that was the case. But I believe there had to be a master plan. And that's why I'm reaching for the master's hand. My DNA was made by G-O-D. Won't let them make a monkey out of me. No, I'm not Harry and I never was much good at climbing trees. My DNA was made by G-O-D. On Judgment Day we'll see who's right and wrong. I don't believe we'll see a monkey on the throne. No gorilla, no baboon or chimpanzee. We'll see the M.A.M. that died on Calvary. Yeah, my DNA was made by G.O.D. I won't let them make a monkey. Was much good at climbing trees. My DNA was made by G-O-D. We'll see the M-A-N that died on Calvary. My DNA was made by G-O-D. My DNA was made by G-O-D.
As we all are, made by God. Hey, this is Kenny. Pastor Ernie is running late today. He is on his way back from, I believe, the Concert for Life. And he's out on the east side, so he's probably in the snow belt area. It's probably taken him longer to get back than he anticipated. So in the meantime, I've been playing a lot of tracks, a lot of music for you. Want to remind everyone that What's Right, What's Left is your home for the voice of the Christian resistance. And you know, they do pledge weeks, and there was a pledge week a couple weeks ago, but you don't have to wait for pledge week to send a donation. You can always go to wrwl.org and get all this information I'm about to give you right now. You can always send them a check to WRWL Ministries at 14781 Speary Road. That's 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio, 44065. 14781 Speary Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. All right, well, while we await for Pastor Ernie to make it back from the Concert for Life, I've got more music for you. In fact, let's hear a little bit of Pastor. This is Tell Mom and Dad About Jesus on What's Right, What's Left, 1220 The Word.
A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, I want to see the preacher. So they left them alone. Will you make me a promise? She said, as you
want. Well, never mind. We've got Pastor Ernie. So take it away, Pastor.
All righty. We're back. Yeah. What a wonderful time that we had at the Chester Christian
Center, Pastor Steve Sawchuk, and those folks, they put on a tremendous Christmas concert tonight. Well, it was just, the talent was unbelievable. And boy, folks, the atmosphere in there makes you feel good. It was.
Was that the Concert for Life?
Yep,
the Concert for Life. Okay, that's what I was calling it, so I wanted to make sure I had it right. Okay, good.
Yep, Concert for Life. And we're going to get into, we got to get into the message. We only got half a minute. We'll get halfway through it tonight, all right?
Yes.
The title of it was Church Polity and Etiquette, or Manners. And do you know what church polity is?
I believe that's the way you're supposed to behave.
Well, no, that's the etiquette. But polity is the government of the church.
Oh, okay.
And so within the government, it talks about also your etiquette, your manners, things, you know, that the way you do things the right way in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start out tonight by taking a look at where does church all come from to begin with. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. Now, here at verse 13, when Jesus came into the cross, or into the coasts of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, the topic there, okay, is the identity of Christ. That's the question. And they answered him, and they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Well, again, their answer was the identity of Christ. Verse 15, he saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" Again, it's about the identity of Christ. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." One more time, the identity. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but thy Father which is in heaven." So here you have five verses, and five verses, the topic is the identity. Who is Christ? Okay. And so now we get into verse 18. Now, the reason I said all of that was because this is been a controversial passage of Scripture here. And in verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, there are those that take some of the mainline Protestant churches, denominations, and the Roman Catholic Church has used this verse to claim that Peter, that the church was built upon Peter. There's a couple problems with that. You may have heard, but Peter died, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't build a living body on a dead body, okay? That's got to be built on the living. And Christ is the rock here. And he says this, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter." Now, that word is Petros, okay? It means a stone. It means a stone. And upon this rock, Petra, that means a rock, I will build the church. So he's telling them that, "Peter, you're a stone, you're one of the living stones, and upon the fact that I am the Christ, that I am the living Son of God, and I am God the Son, and that's how the church will be built upon my deity," okay? And so, and he says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, the gates of hell, that's what we're going to be up against until we leave this world. But very quickly, just to prove my point, if you jump over to John chapter 1 and verse 42, here the Lord is speaking. "And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." And Peter himself had said that he was the stone. And Peter also referred to the church being built upon Christ as the rock. And so it's very clear. In fact, did you know that, Kenny, you're a stone?
I'm a stone?
Yeah. I'm not saying you're
strong. Strong as a rock.
Right.
Or dumb as a rock. What did my dad say?
No. All born-again believers are living stones. We're a part of that living stones, the body of Christ. That's called a living stones, a royal priesthood. So all of us, you didn't know you was a priest too, did you?
I think you've mentioned that before, so yeah.
So that's why I have you listening to this program. Alrighty, so
I learn everything all the time.
Did you know, too, that this is the first time in the Bible that ecclesia was mentioned, the word church? That's in the Greek, ecclesia, church. And so this is the very first time the word church was mentioned. And we go on to read in verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Here's what he's saying there. He's saying that whatever you bind has already been decided in heaven. This, what you're going to bind has been decided already in heaven. What you're going to lose has already been decided in heaven. And did you know that I also have the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah. You might not have known this. Have you ever witnessed anybody?
Sometimes, yeah, occasionally.
Well, then you have the keys to the kingdom of heaven, because what that is your testimony, your witness, that Jesus Christ is the salvation message. That's mm-hmm. what it is. And that message we give at the end of every radio program at night. And so, and then he goes on to, that's the keys. That's how you get into heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. A lot of people think that Christ was Jesus' last name. It wasn't. The Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer. That is the Christ. And he's also the rock on which the church is built. And so, if we go over to Ephesians chapter 1, we will read, and I'll get there in a minute. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, we read this. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Now, the reason he's telling you that is he's already said over there in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 4, that Satan has blinded the eyes of the world, the unsaved. And this is why, if you read that, the gospel, if they don't understand the gospel, it's because their eyes have been blinded by Satan. In fact, let me just turn there real quick, and I'll read to you what he actually says here. I think I'm going to do that. These pages are so thin in the Bible. Okay, here we go. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Ready? Starting with verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And so, this is why the message that Paul is getting across here. He says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of the mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand on the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name which is named is not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness in him that filleth in all and all." Now, the government of the church is very simple. It's the simplicity of the gospel, if you will. And here, This is the government of the church. Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Pope's not the head of the church, the presbytery. You don't have, and in fact, the government goes that Jesus Christ, and then under him is the shepherd, the under-shepherd of the local church, the pastor of the local church, and then the elders, and then the deacons, and then the assembly. Now, a lot of people don't, you know, they get confused today by the names that's out there, a lot of men's teachings, but when it comes to the pastor or the shepherd, today you have those out there that, these denominations, you've got the Vatican, you've got the Missouri Synod, you've got the Southern Baptist Convention, you've got the Presbytery, you know, all of these denominations are not biblical. They are not biblical, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The government is, like I said, it's simple. Jesus Christ alone, the head of the church, the under-shepherd of the pastor of the local church, the elders, the deacons, and the assembly. That's the government, very simple government of the church. And so, if we go over to Acts chapter 2, and in Acts chapter 2, we read here about the practices of the church. I think I want to start in verse 41. Then they which gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so the actual practice was you were baptized the moment you received Christ as your Savior. Then you were baptized. Today, for many reasons, that's not, you know, that isn't taking place. Sometimes it does. He goes on to say, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. And they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Well, they spent a lot of time together, Kenny, in Bible studies, dining, communion, fellowship, always making sure that the needs of the others were met.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here, the Bible clearly teaches we must never, not ever, think of our fellow saints as lesser Christians due to a lack of wealth or a lack of people skills. You know, all too often I've seen people have left churches not accepting what they consider lesser people in the church. There might be people that don't have good people skills. We have some people that that sometimes they can be a real burden. But you don't say, well, and I've had people do this. Say either they go or I go. Okay, I can't stay here because you know, these people are not up to my standards. We've had,
that's so absurd. It's like a complete contradiction to the Word of God.
Right, I know. Well, you know, you find out what happens is those people that leave and they go to another church, and once they start attending the other church, people from that church leave because they say, these people are not up to our standards.
Okay? Yeah.
And so it's ironic, isn't it? But here, again, we see that. And I hear people, in fact, I know two men who I've known for a long time, and they will only attend mega churches where they feel that they should be people that they want to be only with people of their own social status, who, you know, financially are on their same level. And not a, you know, the Lord Jesus kind of spoke to that, didn't he? And so if we go over to Romans, in fact, chapter 12, and in Romans chapter 12, we read, starting in verse 3 through 9, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Paul's got it, don't he?
Yep, right but there.
But to think soberly according to what God hath dealt to every man in the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we believe that we are one body in Christ, and every member of one another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, or minister, let us wait on our ministry, and he that teacheth, let on teaching, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, that he ruleth with diligence. So he that showeth mercy and cheerfulness, let love, and be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cling to that which is good. Do you know what dissimulation is?
No.
It's hypocrisy. He's saying, okay, do it without hypocrisy. Now here's the thing. He's talking about the gifts that people have. Now prophecy today, we have forthtelling, not foretelling. And that day they still had foretelling until the canon was completed. But we have forthtelling. You prophesize. I'm prophesizing right now. The prophecy that we use comes right in the completed canon of Scripture. And so here, then he lists the gifts. Now, when he talks about ministering, actually that means like the work of a deacon. The work of a deacon. And the different gifts, according here, as he has, the greatest of those are teaching. And here you have to whom much is given, much is required. And teachers are held to a higher standard. Pastors and teachers are held to a higher standard. And then you have the gifts of exhortation. When I was ordained, that's what was on my ordination. They told me I had the gift of exhortation, exhorting people to action.
Did you persuade them to put that on there?
No, I didn't do it. And although I could have said, well, you know, you can do it if you want to do it, right? I could have exhorted them to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But no, that was what was put on. So anyhow, we have what we see here. When it says, don't think of yourself more highly than you should, you know, we have nothing to be proud of. We have everything to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. Everything. And if you really realize that, it makes life a whole lot easier, and you don't have to be puffed up with an ego, you know? It's, there's, when you talk about being blessed, and the word pride, it can be used, we really should use that word thankfulness, okay?
Or blessed, as you told me before.
Blessed, yeah. And so, here, I want to go now to, why don't we go over to Philemon? Philemon would be a great place to go. Well, you know, one of the things, too, in the Scripture that talks about where it comes to church, you know, manners. And that would be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, one of the things that is expected in the church or behaviors has to do with kom and komeia. Did you know that?
I did
not. Let me read that. Okay, well, what that is, it's talking about your hair. Talking about your hair, it says here, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that it is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is in the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it commonly that a woman praying to God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is given to her glory, for her hair is given her to a covering. Now, you get where we get the word comb, in the Greek is K-O-M-B. That word means a man's hair. And komea is a woman's hair. Now, you often have all these pictures, you know, like in the Lord's Supper, this and that, of Jesus and the disciples having this long hair. They didn't. If you go back, then do you think the Apostle Paul would say that if Jesus had that long hair down past his shoulders?
No, that's why it was confusing to me.
Well, if you go back and you look at all the busts, that were made during that time, okay, the ones that are still in the museums all through Europe, the men had hair about like our hair today. You know, it's the same as we have it today, okay? And here, when it talks about shorn, even if your hair is for a woman, remember you had the temple prostitutes there where they had to serve for 3 years at the age of 18 as a prostitute in Corinth there. And so the temple of Diana, and what you would know a prostitute, they would shave their head. Their hair would be very short, like a butch haircut. And so what happened when those women got saved, like he says here, where if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn, and if she be ashamed for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. When they would come to the church, the wives of the men in that church would see this woman with the short hair and know that she was a prostitute. Mm-hmm. And they would make sure that, they would shun her. And this is why, as you were told, to make sure, you know, your head was covered so you wouldn't know. And then the male prostitutes, the homosexuals, they had long hair like a woman. And that's how you would know them. And you know what they were referred to as?
No.
Dogs. Dogs. Four times in the Bible they were referred to as dogs. Okay. And so here, we're running out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, we got about 3.5 minutes.
Well, now it's time to go to Philemon. And in Philemon, well, we don't really have time for Philemon. I'll have to do this during the rest of the week. But folks out there, I just wanted to say it was a tremendous pro-life concert. The entertainers were good. So some of the ladies that were singing, and of course, you had A.J. Fiodor, the man with the golden harmonica. What a talent A.J. is. Him and I go back probably 50 years together. And, of course, Pastor Steve Salchek always puts on a tremendous concert for life. And so, it was just made me feel so good. I didn't want to leave there. I didn't want to leave. But I knew I had to get here and get on the air. And so,
well, you got a half a show in.
Yeah, I got half a show. And that's one half better than zero, huh?
It certainly is.
All right. And so, folks out there, wherever you're at, okay, always remember Jesus is the reason for the season. And the greatest gift that anyone ever received was eternal life. And the only way you can get it, there's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through the Son. And that is to pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sins, ask the Lord Jesus to become Lord of your life, all of your life, and you'd have to, you put him before everything, okay? And if you do that, okay, God will honor that. You ask for forgiveness, you repent, and when you ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, they will honor that, and you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir to the kingdom of God. It doesn't get any better than that, you see. That's better than being a trillionaire. That's better than being the wealthiest person in this world, okay, folks, because, you know, all the money that ever existed can't buy you 1 minute out of hell, can't buy you 1 minute into heaven. That's the only way you can get there is to the Lord Jesus. And all the money in the world cannot buy you eternal life. That can only come through God. So, if I was you, that's what I would do tonight. I would, if you haven't done it out there, I would do it. And if you have any doubts about it, I would do it again. I would call upon the name of the Lord, even do it tonight.
As you say, you don't run out of tomorrow's today.
And that's going to happen. That's going to happen all across this globe. That's going to happen. Well, we've run out of time for tonight. And like always, you've been a magnificent co-host, Kenny.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you got a real future in radio.
Only half a show, so I mean, wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Well, it's
only
time
half
to
the
say.
Time to screw something up.
Yeah. Remember, always keep fighting the fight. Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.